And today I want to start with reminding us that we all have concerns. And the Bible does deal with them. And as Paul ended the Epistle of Romans, he etched in major concerns in Romans 16, the last chapter. That is our passage, Romans 16. And it has concerns directed to the Christian community. Paul always understood the connection of the Christian community to be important. And he nurtured the connection recognition for all of us to embrace. The Spirit wants you to embrace connection recognition with each other, with Christians, instinctively. And it's important for the church to function this way. It really is spiritual health. It's a barometer of spiritual health. See, we do have commonality, and the commonality must be preserved, but there are people who try to augment Christianity with personal opinions. That's a concern. There are people who offer false promises of blessings. You see it all the time. You hear them all the time. Sometimes we embrace them ourselves. But what those things do, because they're false, they encumber the whole community. They inhibit our connection from thriving. Now, maybe you know someone who encumbers a community with their personal opinions. Maybe that's what you do. And so God's not pleased with it. And thankfully, the foundation keeps us united. We do have a foundation. At least the foundation is supposed to keep us united. And what it is, it's the gospel of Christ Jesus. Paul deals with some of this in chapter 16. It's very edifying as we finish up. We really do need this. I'm going to read it now. So if you have your Bible, electronic device, you can go there to Romans 16, or you can follow along. Paul says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant from the church which is in Centuria, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of those set apart, and that you help her in whatever matter she may have need of you, for she herself has also been a patroness benefactor of many and of myself as well. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who for my life risked their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles, the non-Jews. Also greet the church that is in their house. Now, I'm going to probably mispronounce a lot of these names. Greet Epaphroditus, my beloved, who is the first convert to Christ from Asia. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They are well known to the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Statius, my beloved. Greet Apelles, the approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my kinsman. Greet those of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, workers in the Lord. Greet Persis, the beloved, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, a choice man in the Lord, also his mother and mine. Greet Ansincretus and Phlegon and Hermes and Patrobas and Hermas and the brethren with them. Greet Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus and all the set apart ones, the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them. That's a concern. For such men are slaves, not of our Lord Christ, but of their own appetites. And by their speech that is smooth and seems like it blesses, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. For the report of your obedience has reached to all. Therefore, I am rejoicing over you, but I want you to be wise in what is good and innocent in what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Timothy, my fellow worker, greets you, and so do Lucius and Jason and Sosipater and my kinsmen and Tertius, who write this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, host to me and to the whole church, greets you. Erastus, the city treasurer, greets you. Quartus, the brother, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel, as Paul says, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which has been kept secret for long ages past, but now is manifested and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, has been made known to all the ethnic peoples, or ta ethne in the Greek, which means to all the various nationalities throughout the world, leading to obedience of faith. And we saw in Romans 1:5, Romans 10:16, if you've been here through the series, the term obedience of faith means faith itself is the obedience. That's what we find in Romans 1:5, 10:16 in here. And then he says, to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, be the glory forever. Amen. Prepare your heart for this sermon, the main concerns of Christian community. Let's pray. Father, I do ask that you bless us and build us up with this scripture out of Romans. We're so grateful for this wonderful book, this theology book, this library, this exhortation book. It equips us. It helps us. We want that this morning for the glory of you. In Christ's name, amen. Now, Paul's wrap-up on the Christian community shows us a lot of things. He's got this big, long list of people. And he does mention some things, and I want to get to the Christian community focus of all of these people. And so the thing about this that I really want us to connect with is that we find ourselves there. And there's a sense that I'm talking about. And it's the community connection. The community there connected. But it also, the community connects to itself. So where there is a community connection, it exists. You're in it. I'm in it. That's Christianity, the Christian community, right? But it also connects to itself through intentional recognition. That is a very big point, something that we need to really embrace, because this is what God wants you to do. And Paul greeted this long list of people. There are people scattered across many countries, all these different regions, all over the place. But you think about it, they had a primitive life, and they were naturally disconnected from people by distance, just by the barrier of being able to travel. Now, back then, you probably would never see Christians who lived hundreds of miles away. There were no phones, and there was no internet. There was no rapid transportation. It was by foot, donkey, camel, horse. And people rarely left a few square miles of their local area. They had to eke out a living. Now, many lived their whole lives never, ever venturing beyond a few miles. And yet, there was this tight relationship. Notice this. In Christian community, it's blossoming, it's exploding across the land, and yet it's connected, a close connection and awareness like a scattered but loving family. And so, yeah, this is the sermon for today. And so we see appreciation according to our unique reborn relationship in Christ. And something in this snapshot of Christianity back then emerges, and it speaks to you, it speaks to me directly. As a Christian, you should be nurturing a two-level appreciation of the others. Appreciation on two levels. The first level, recognize your unique relationship and focus on it. We need to be doing that. The second level, continuously make that appreciation grow. That's the nurturing, that's the growth. Know that our shared relationship in Christ is very, very special. You know, the Christians in Rome were asked to greet the church in the house of Prisca and Aquila. Now, the word church is a very interesting word. It has a very interesting history. Starting out thousands of years ago, when it first came about, it literally meant the called out ones. The called out ones. And then through the centuries, it took on this meaning of the gathering or the assembly. And in Christianity, what we have with the called out ones and the gathering and the assembly, like we're doing right now, the church right now, in Christianity, the word has all of that meaning together. In other words, it refers to those, us, who are called out in Christ Jesus, okay? And it also refers to the gathered in Christ. We use it in all ways. That's the way the church, that's the way Christians have used this term. It's become a Christian term in these senses. Now listen, this word is all about connection. You see? The church is all about connection. Prisca and Aquila and the Christians who connected in their house were known to actually to those who received this epistle from Paul. And these people, they went and they showed the wider connection by greeting Prisca and Aquila and all the Christians in their house. They went over and greeted them for Paul. And this is a circular letter, so this was scripture. And Prisca and Aquila used this Romans epistle and they preached from it also. Everybody did. It was copied and copied and copied. That's why we have it. And Paul said, greet the people in the household of Aristobulus. Now, they were connected. They were known in such a way as to be greeted. Paul did the same thing with all those, he says, in the Lord in the household of Narcissus. Now, being in the Lord means being spiritually saved. The Christians knew who the Christians in those households were. It was the Christian community. It's connected. You know, go greet them as a normal connection. Paul said to greet five other people he named. He also said, greet the brethren who are with them. You know, we don't have all those people's names, but those brothers, the Christian community knew who they were, and they communicated with them as part of the community. Paul named five more people. Greet all those set apart in Christ who were with those people too. Maybe Paul didn't know their names, but he knew this. He knew that he is connected to them. He knew that the community is connected to itself. He knew those he sent his greetings from are going to be connecting with them to share the greetings. Everyone knew that the whole expansive Christian community is connected. This is what we need to keep conscious all the time on our two levels. Know it and nurture it. See? So here's the thing. When you look at what they're doing, you're looking at them acting like it. That's a lesson. How are you acting like your connection to the rest of us? Because you are connected. So that's already established. Now, how are you recognizing it? What are you doing about it when it comes to staying, for example, united and caring and concerned and faithful to everyone, to this church? Paul told them, he said, all the churches of Christ greet you too. Well, remember, they're just all over the place, hundreds of miles scattered everywhere. And those in Rome understood what we need to understand. Paul was relaying the community connection of all Christians. But there's something else. Recognize the unique identification qualities of people. Everybody has a unique identification quality. It makes it personal. It makes the nurturing grow, the second level. You see, this is the importance of familiarity in the Christian community. Phoebe was with the group that brought the letter to Rome. So she arrives, they have the letter, they're reading this. Paul commended her to them. He says she's our sister, a sister in Christ, a servant from the church which is in Centuria. And Phoebe was a patroness benefactor. That's what the Greek descriptive words mean. She helped Christians financially, socially, organizationally. She got things done, and she had a lot of money. Okay? She was known for helping many Christians, including Paul. She was community connected. See what I'm saying? All across the land with the churches. So Paul said, you people, help her in whatever she needs. It's community connection at work, doing something with the connection, doing something with concerns, doing some with people. It's the second level. Prisca and Aquila were described as Paul's fellow workers in Christ Jesus who risked their lives for Paul. Well, Paul said to all the churches of the Gentiles there that he said about them that they gave thanks to God for Prisca and Aquila. Well, that's pretty big. All the churches are thanking God for them. See, the wider community connection, very personal. Paul pointed out Epaphroditus to the Romans. He was the first convert to Christ from Asia. What's he doing? It's familiarity, and familiarity is being reinforced. The united connection is being nurtured. Paul said, Mary worked hard for the Roman Christians. It's personal. Andronicus and Junius are described as Paul's fellow Israelite converts. He said they had been imprisoned with him. They're becoming familiarized. It's personal. He's doing more than honoring people. And he said they were well known to the apostles. He said that they were spiritually saved before he was. Paul described Ampliatus. How do you pronounce that name? Ampliatus, as his beloved in the Lord. He described Urbanus as our fellow worker in Christ. You know, the descriptions are meant for closer connection. Stachys was his beloved. Apelles approved in Christ. Herodian was his kinsman. He's just given these little details of who they are. Tryphania and Tryphosa are described as workers in the Lord. He didn't have to give these descriptions. He could have just said their names. Persis is described as the beloved who worked hard in the Lord. Rufus is described as a choice man in the Lord. Paul could have just said, hey, greet Rufus, or Rufus greets you, or remember Rufus, whatever. But he gives these things about him. Timothy and three other Israelite Christians in Paul's apostolic team, they greeted the Romans. Tertius is right here. Tertius is Paul's amanuensis, and he gave a personal greeting. You know what an amanuensis is? Well, they were scribes back then who wrote the words dictated by the author. And so he said, I, Tertius, who write this letter, greet you in the Lord. So basically how it would be is Paul would stand there, he would tell Tertius what to write, and Tertius would write it down. Paul had a problem seeing, he had certain other problems, and amanuensis were very common in those days. They were typically very educated slaves, and this is what they did. They took dictation for people and wrote it down, and then they had the letter. Still scripture. And he was a Christian. Paul had him add his own personal greeting to get the community connection sense going there, see? And there's Gaius. He's from where Paul wrote the epistle. He said Gaius hosted Paul and the whole church. Erastus was explained to be the city treasurer. Quartus described as the brother. How many times have you introduced someone and said what their Christian connection is? You know, this was not an unusual thing back then. It was the common thing to greet people that way. How many times have you met people and you don't even know whether they claim to be Christians? See, this is the lesson. Connecting right here, we get the descriptions like we're seeing. And Paul intentionally brought out the familyness sense of everyone, no matter where and who they are. It's supposed to be known. There's connection. And Paul really got it across, telling the Romans what to do to express this among their own selves and their closer community. He said, greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, culturally, that kind of greeting was a very typical practice. It's like a handshake or a hug of greeting in our culture and what we do in our world. So what's going on here, though, is that I want you to notice is Paul wanted it to be special with the Christian family of God. It was typical. It was the typical greeting, but he says holy. Greet each other with a set-apart kiss, a set-apart handshake, a set-apart hug, set-apart in Christ, because we are those who are set apart in Christ. We are the community, and our connection is very special. Our greeting is very, very special. Appreciation of each other should be reflecting the specialness. Whenever you meet someone, try to discern their spiritual state. You are not rubbing shoulders with the unsaved like you do with the family of God. This is where the connection and appreciation has to come at the second level. You know you're a Christian and you know you're part of Christianity, but you gotta nurture it. Recognition, familiarity. Be part of that in your thinking. And when you meet people like this, discern their spiritual state, try, do it early on. Do it early on. That's what I do. Now, I don't know. It should be done by everybody. You want to recognize the connection as soon as you can. You want to recognize the disconnection if they're unsaved. Try to recognize if someone is a non-Christian. You know, it's going to depend a lot on how you're going to deal with them, what they're going to say to you. To have the connected community understanding in mind, you cannot take the Christianity of others for granted. And that is happening way too much in our day. Way too much. If you're in the habit of looking at other Christians as just other people detached from you, listen, then the Spirit wants you to make His biblical adjustment now. Right now. And it only means you're going the biblical way when you do it. It's not unusual. It's what you're supposed to do. 1 Corinthians explains that all of us are God's field. All of us together, one field. 1 Peter 2:5 says we are all God's living temple, each a living stone. And we are also individually temples of the Holy Spirit. But 1 Peter 2:5 is explaining the connection. Living stones, one temple. Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 says we are the body of Christ, each individually members of one another. And one of the major themes of the New Testament is that we are all the family of God in Christ Jesus. And those realities are about the connection. And those really are your reality. And the reality that built all of this is that your relationship with other Christians is there by divine appointment. So this is the thinking. When you encounter someone, know that it's a divine appointment. Think of it as a divine appointment. And then also know that God's doing something with that. He brought you together with that other person. Don't let this be a missing link in your thinking. And so this means that you're going to have to resist the self-focused ways of others. The self-focused ways of others in our culture can influence us. And that's not what God wants. And it can be like a fight. You have to be strong to follow God's sovereign will to operate in our connection with the other members of the body of Christ. It's a discipline. It's a discipline to be mentally in tune with what God's doing in our Christian community. It takes practice to stay connected in our thoughts and our hearts. This is a main concern of God when it comes to Christian community. Do this, and there's more. And this is what it is. It's the intentional preservation of our true commonalities. Preserving our true commonality is achieved in many, many ways. You must be ready to turn away from people as one way. And it doesn't sound like it makes sense at first, but here we see that it's a turning from those who seek to augment Christianity with false religious burdens, with false promises of blessings. Now, that was the concern in his wrap-up. Be aware. Paul says, look for those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching they learned from him. Apostolic revelation. Paul's big focus has been salvation by grace through faith alone, through Christ alone. Away from the Mosaic law. That's all of Romans coming finally to the wrap-up at 16, right? You know, dissensions and hindrances are religious rules and their beliefs from the unsaved, which bring real Christians under their bondage. And Christians absorb this stuff all the time because they're not aware. They're taken in by smooth speech. And these people have false beliefs, and they really do inject into the community all the time. They're not the practices of Christianity that Paul taught. And Paul's been making arguments to counter false beliefs which go in that direction. Now he says, turn away from the unsaved people who try to push those things on you. I mean, it sounds strong, and it is. He gets really strong here. You know what he says? He says those people are not slaves of our Lord Christ. And we've seen, what does that mean when you say somebody's not a slave of Christ? That means they're not saved. They're slaves of their own appetites, slaves to sin, slaves to themselves and their own personal desires, slaves of what they crave is what he's explaining here. So to protect ourselves, to protect the community, we got to keep an eye out for these kinds of people. And then what? He says, turn away from them. Now, earlier, Paul said, be tolerant of Christians who thought they were honoring God by abstaining from certain foods or observing certain days. You know, they're trying to be worshipful, and they've learned this as a cultural thing. Don't eat pork. Don't eat bacon. You know, observe Friday evening into Saturday as like the old Sabbath. But, you know, because, you know, they're worshiping God, and they just think it's an honoring God thing. They're Christians. He says, those guys are just wrong, okay? They're not trying to rewrite the gospel. But now Paul's describing people who go further, and it's in every epistle that he writes. He ran into these people everywhere. You think of different leaders in our day, and they have followers that are like this. They just lead you down a stray path. And if you really dissect where they're coming from, they don't believe that Jesus Christ is the true Lord. They're not even saved. They're not his slaves. And Paul says, turn away from these people. Get away from them. You know, he didn't say don't influence them. He just means you need to get away because they cause problems, not just in your life. But notice what this is. This is the wrap up. He's addressing the community. They cause problems in the community. And if they are a community connection, you have a bad connection injecting into the community. You see how it works? This is why he says turn from them. They do cause these horrible problems. And what they do is, they just don't come in and say, hey guys, I'm going to teach you something false right now and you need to believe this dumb thing I'm going to teach you. No, that's not what they do. They use persuasive speech. He says it's smooth and it seems like it blesses. And boy, you talk about an inviting connection cable. It's very difficult when you get that kind of stuff fed into your ear. It's called ear candy. He says turn from them because they don't want to be convinced by you. They want to convince you. Turn because they are convincing. You see? They are so convincing that if you don't get away, you're going to be listening to them. You're going to be like hypnotized. Oh, wow, yeah, that sounds so right. And so that's why it's protection. And this is how they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. What they say concerning their error sounds plausible. You know, they're talking to you and you're thinking, well, that sounds reasonable. See, that's the smoothness part. And if you're unsuspecting, you can be easily influenced. And so what do you got to be? Familiar with them. See how this connection is? Familiarize yourself. Know them. Know what they believe according to what Paul says, my gospel, my apostolic revelation. I've just laid out a whole letter for you, Romans. Look at this. What this does, it finds the wrinkle that they're using to try to smooth with their speech. And so the danger can be there among the community, and it's blending in. So what does this tell us about being in tune with the community? You're going to have to be. I have to be in tune with the community, especially as a pastor. And sometimes you can find the materials of those people in Jesus-loving churches come from tracts and websites and videos and stuff that you find on the internet. It just spreads the stuff around. And what do you look for? Well, look for beliefs. This is where Paul is going actually directly with this in his own point. Look for beliefs that mix works with grace for you to try to gain favor with God. Sometimes they use a lot of spiritual language to convince you that they're being led by God to do whatever it is they do. That's part of the smoothness. That's why it's smooth speech. And I mean, even for a discerning person who's familiar with the scriptures and seasoned Christian, a smooth-talking person that brings some kind of new doctrine to you, if they present it in such a way that's smooth, it's inviting. Because the smooth things don't usually appear dangerous. There's an idea of blessing that's presented in what they say, always. And that's actually what the Greek term means. Some put flattering. Sometimes it's translated as that. They teach things that, like, they're going to be blessings to you. They're flattering you. And we want that in our flesh, right? We like that. We like to be flattered. Let's be honest. And so the unsuspecting eat it up because everyone wants to be blessed. Don't you want to be blessed? I mean, it's flattering. And that's why these kinds of things get embraced. And you see whole movements, whole churches. You see people running around, their whole lives run with this stuff. But the main thing to know about such people is that they're guilty of not serving the Lord, but you are. You are. And Paul knew that the people he sent Romans to, this epistle, were obedient to the Lord in faith and the gospel of grace in Christ, the cross and resurrection. They followed the discipleship that Paul laid out with a saved spirit. They were not perfect. Nobody's perfect, but they were obedient in the sense of belief, and they proceeded in life wanting their belief to drive their actions. That's what we want, right? Our belief to drive our actions. And so their obedience was famous, but the dangers were there, and they came into this community, these dangers, very quickly. So Paul's saying, be wise in what is good and innocent when it comes to evil. Be wise in what is good. How are you wise in what is good? Stay seeking the truth, being obedient to the truth that you know is real and is the foundation. That is the good which should drive your actions. And so the wisdom is seeing what causes the dissensions and hindrances contrary to sound teaching based on apostolic revelation with everything we've learned in Romans, everything else that Paul has written and the other apostles. Yes, the teachings of Christ Jesus, of course. Analyze the beliefs and the practices of people who come into your life, come into this fellowship. They may talk to you and they may present smooth words, but try to identify the wrinkle-free promises that they give that are presented like blessings, because the wrinkle is what's wrong and they're trying to smooth it out. How are you going to know what it is? Well, the wrinkle identifier is what Paul calls the gospel according to him. All this is based on the main truth, the main concern of all. Focus on the primary foundation that all else is built upon. You do that and you're abiding in wisdom. It is the simple gospel. Now, when it comes to maturity in the Lord, There's so many different ways of learning about it, line upon line, precept upon precept, learning various things from the scriptures and getting all this knowledge. But listen to me. The simple gospel message is pure wisdom. It's genius stuff, but it's so genius, even little babies can understand it. But it is the important stuff. We need to stay with the gospel. Everything else is important, but the simple gospel of grace in Christ is foundational. Paul said, God establishes according to Paul's good news and the preaching of Jesus Christ. That's wisdom. And you find the foundation in places like 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. He said, the gospel I preach, Paul, to you, by which you are also saved through belief, has as its first importance being Christ dying for our sins according to the scriptures, buried, raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Okay. Paul said in Ephesians 2, by grace you are saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. It's not a result of works that no one can boast. Now put all that with what he said back in Romans 10 concerning the word of faith we proclaim. That if you confess the Lord Jesus, believe that God raised him from the dead, what does it say? You will be saved. That believing results in righteousness and confession results in salvation. Confession is acknowledgement. This is the gospel Paul preached. It's the revelation of the mystery which was secret for long ages past. The prophetic bits have come to fruition. And the community, the true community, has them and embraces them. Prophecy always looked to what God was going to do to fulfill all that needed to happen to fix the fall of Adam and Eve and sin. And those mysterious prophecies that Paul mentions here pointed to the redemptive fulfillment in Jesus. He's the anointed redeemer. He is wisdom. He is wisdom. I mean, you know, if somebody starts getting too deep and too way off with you and you're starting to get confused, you're thinking, I don't even know if what you're telling me is true. You've got this doctrine. You know what you can do? Say, look, I know that Jesus Christ is my Savior and I am saved and God loves me and I know where I'm going and I know that other people need Jesus too. Wow, you have just spoken what seminary professors should be speaking. But what does this manifestation look like? What is it going to look like? What was it going to look like in respect to God's plan for the whole world? Well, the prophesied Messiah had been typically understood back then to bless the Israelites as a flesh nation. Come in, have this king, kind of like David, raise up on earth at that time. But see, that was only a partial understanding. The mystery, like Paul's talking about, it's a mystery, a secret, is that all the nations, the Gentiles, get the blessing of Messiah by faith too. And so now it's crystal clear. Paul said that by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, the mystery has been made known to all ethnic people groups, leading to obedience of faith. Everybody's going to be saved someday through the gospel. Those who receive the gospel will be saved. And so this is the main thing. The gospel is for all who will receive it and believe it. This is what he says right here. And this is the main truth that we need to be focusing on. We need to preserve the gospel, which establishes us all as wisdom. You know, we need to be proclaiming it to everyone. And so this is the main concern of the Christian community. Amen. So I urge you, be sharing, focusing on the gospel. Now, briefly going over everything, we've looked at main concerns we should be nurturing, the concerns of our Christian community. It's connected, and this requires intentional recognition. It also requires preserving our true commonalities. It's all based on the main thing, focus on the primary foundation. Everything else is built upon it. It's the simple grace gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.